Jesus must have prayed in a remarkable way for them to ask that question. If you ever saw somebody pray and you said, wow, however you pray, what do you do? Man, what are you up to? That person would be someone who knows how to pray. Let me share with you a story that maybe will help get this all in context for us. Back in 1909, a Father Francis Keller made the long, arduous trip to Gillette, Wyoming, out in the middle of nowhere. He wrote them a letter ahead of time telling them that he would be there to say Mass for them this particular Sunday when he was going to be there. Now, back in those days in Gillette, Wyoming, people wouldn't see a priest for years. I mean, years. It was that far out there in the wilderness. And so as he got there and after he said Mass, a man from the parish came up to him and said, Father, your train doesn't leave until late tonight. Why don't you go on a horseback ride for me out in the hills? It's beautiful out there this time of the year. So after he did all his rounds and saw the people he was supposed to see, at late afternoon, they go on a horseback ride out into the hills. And as they're out there for about an hour, this woman, off in a distance, starts to wave to them to come. And as they approach, she notices that the priest is wearing his collar, his Roman collar, and she gets this most remarkable look on her face when she sees that one of these riders is a priest. And she says, my brother is dying. They go to a tent, and he's laying on a cot in this tent. And he's very thin, about 35 years old. And beside this cot is a table with two candles lit on it. And back in those days, that's how you would greet a priest when a priest would come. He heard this man's confession. He anointed him. Priests in those days always would carry a vial of holy oils with them in case some kind of emergency would occur. We still do it today. I have those same oils in my car. They've been there ever since I've been ordained that whenever something would happen, I need to use those, and it has happened often. And after he anointed this, or heard his confession and anointed this man, he smiles at the priest and very gently he dies. His sister goes up to him and she says, nobody told me that you are going to be here in Gillette today, saying Mass today. All my life long, my brother has prayed that a priest be present at his death and give him the last rites. This morning we both prayed that last time for that very special grace. And I think the story is a beautiful illustration of what Jesus says in the gospel today when he says, ask and you receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. If you who are wicked know how to give good things to your children, how much more will my Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, God doesn't need to be persuaded to answer our prayers. God knows our needs long before we ask him. Our perseverance, which is what you guys said, is a big part of the prayer today, and I would agree, is a sign that you and I trust. Really trust, second thing, that God will really answer our prayers. And secondly, our perseverance is a sign that we're serious, that we really want God to answer our prayers. That young man had no idea a priest was going to be there at that time. And yet his serious, persevering, trusting prayer somehow out of nowhere brought this priest to his side to offer him the last sacraments before he died. And all this leads me to a big question that I want to ask all of you. If that man's trusting prayer, if that man's persistent prayer would bring that priest to his side out of nowhere to receive the last sacraments, could our trusting prayer, our persistent prayer, continue the transformation process that has begun in our parish? And can our persistent prayer and our trusting prayer of one parish here, our Mother Sorrows, begin a process of transformation and renewal in our diocese? About 4.5 years ago, October, I think, of 2014, there was 12 of us that got together in a room, and because we wanted to somehow meet the spiritual needs of everybody here at Our Mother's Sorrows. We didn't think the parish or the diocese needed last rites, but we really believed that things are not well. And something had to happen somehow, some way. It was imperative that we did something. And you know all the issues we struggle with in the diocese today. Apathy of our young people, clergy scandal, shortage of priests, crumbling infrastructure, less and less people going to church all the time. You know all that. And rather than sit around and just simply complain or woe is us because of these things happening, we decided that we would take this gospel today seriously. Come to me, you who are, those who seek will find. Those who knock, the door will be open. Those who knock will be able to know God's love for them. So what we did is we decided that we were going to knock, and we were going to seek, and we were going to try to find God's will in all this. And very soon after that, that 12 became 40, and we came up with that motto that's in the back of the church, Jesus, ignite me. So we continue as 40 to seek and to knock and to ask. And I think I've told you this part of the story before. I was getting snow tires on my car at a certain point, and a friend of mine who was doing it, asked how things in the parish were going. And I said something, I don't know why I said it, I said something about this thing called the Alpha Course. I was trying to think about doing this thing. And he said, oh, my pastor has all that stuff. Let me call him on the phone. He answers the phone. I go to get all the materials, read it, and off we went. Up to this point right here and right now, we have done over, unofficially, 14 Alpha Courses in the parish. Over 1,300 people have gone through the course. It has been a pipeline that has touched every single ministry in our parish. And I can't tell you all the different people have become part of the parish because of the Alpha Course. And this fall, you'll hear more about this as things unfold, we're hoping to do 4 Alpha Courses all at the same time. And we're going to be asking people to help us to be able to do all of those different things. So after that, we came up with our vision statement, which I say to you a lot, to be beacons of Christian life here in Johnstown, where all are welcomed to be ignited by Jesus Christ, that we might become intentional disciples of Jesus Christ himself. And here we are now on the verge of our 100th anniversary. And who knows, if we pray persistently, trustingly, and seriously, what God has in mind for us for our future. What would happen in the future of Our Mother's Sorrows if we really prayed persistently, trusting that God will be with us for the next 100 years? What would happen to us if we prayed persistently, seriously, that we really wanted God to transform us as we begin the next 100 years. And today, as you walked into church, the hospitality folks gave you a prayer that don't look for it now, but I'm going to ask you to pray this thing in just a few moments with me. And this is a prayer it's also in your missal, this prayer. And I am going to ask you, folks, now listen now carefully, I am going to ask you to pray this prayer every single day until our feast day, September 15th, 2019, our 100th anniversary. What would happen if you and I prayed this prayer every single day, persistently, trustingly, seriously, begging God to be able to somehow transform our parish, transform us as individuals? What would happen if you and I prayed this prayer persistently and seriously, that God will begin through us to have a process of transformation of our diocese, the Diocese of Altoona Johnstown. And as you walk out the door today, we're going to be giving you this book, this very simple little book by Bishop Barron that's called A Letter to a Suffering Church. I think you're going to find it worthwhile for you to read. And as you ponder and you read the book, it should hopefully make you realize how urgent it is for us to pray seriously and trustingly about these things. And somehow to give you a certain resolve to really, really pray. A little bit more to say about this, and I'll say it later on. But make sure you grab one of these as you walk out of the church here today. Jesus says to us today, ask and you receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. If you who are wicked know how to give good things to your children, how much more would the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Are we serious about this? Or are we just simply dabbling in our Christianity? Do we really want Jesus to ignite us? Do we really want him to send his Holy Spirit? Or do we just go to church on Sunday? Are we really about doing this thing all the time? My real question to all of you, do you and I really believe that prayer changes things? Do you and I really believe that prayer can transform and change us as a parish and also through us begin to change our diocese as well? And do you really take this seriously? Are you really serious about God transforming us? Are you really serious about the transformation of our diocese? That to me is the big question. Are we serious or are we playing games here? God knows, if we're just playing around here, you know, just doing our thing, and you know, who cares about anybody else? God knows and doesn't take that prayer too seriously. But if we're serious and we're persistent, I think things can begin to happen. They already have. It's that simple and it's that challenging.